want. Yes, talking with Marquette coach Mike Dean, former Marquette coach, but historically NCAA tournament best known for as a 14th seed at Siena, beat a number 3 seed Stanford. Back then it was unheard of. Coach, good evening, and do you still remember that game? I know you do.
I do, Homer. I remember that game, but I don't spend a lot of time thinking about it.
But wait a minute. Did you think you were the better team? Were you surprised, or when you looked at the tape, did you go, we can beat them?
You know, I didn't think we were the better team, but I thought that if we could control tempo and keep them uncomfortable, that we had a chance to win the game, because they were not the kind of team that was going to out-athletic you. They were a big, strong, powerful team, and we had a similar kind of front line, so we could play with their front line, and we had a great guard in Mark Brown that they didn't really seem to have an answer for, and he ended up with, I think, 32 points in that game.
All right, at what point in the game did you turn to an assistant to think, we're going to win this game?
At halftime, I remember telling the guys that at that point in time, I thought that we were capable of winning, and if we went out and just played our game. And we jumped out at the start of the second half, and we actually got it up to 16, and then we pretty much hung on for dear life after that and ended up winning by two at the end.
All right, I want to bring you on because you addressed this once before, and I don't listen real well. I want to make sure I heard it right because I think it's the defensive statistic or theory that must be added to college basketball. You can win if you can keep the other team from shooting threes well. Do you believe with that theory? And you mentioned before the way you believe it has to be defended with a variety of approaches. Am I right?
Well, it's not so much a three-point shot that has to be defended with a variety of approaches, but it's that middle ball screen that everyone uses by having their center set a screen in the middle for the guard. Two players line up outside the three-point line on one side, and the last player lines up outside the three-point line on the other side. And depending on how you defend that, for example, Marquette has Tyler, who is as good a player at deciphering where the help is coming from on that roll guy, because invariably they throw the alley-oop to him early in the game, every single game, and then the guy. The guys, the weak side, or the guys that are had the Tyler's back to him have to come in and help. Tyler finds those guys that are spotted up at the 3-point line with that hook pass, which used to be my least favorite when I coached, but obviously is a real weapon now. And he really delivers that thing with some authority on the guy.
Well, he throws it harder than anybody you saw. If you'd have had somebody throw it at his speed, you probably would have liked it more, correct?
No doubt. But we didn't have that kind of spread on the court because we always had two big guys on the floor at all times. And it was more traditional lineup with a center and a power forward.
Okay, so as I expected, I was wrong. It wasn't your thoughts on defending the three. It involved defending the middle ball screen, and that you would do it a number of different ways, and the team can't know which one you're going to use. Do I have it right now?
Now you have it right. I would change the way I defended that.
How many ways?
Play. Oh, there's an awful lot of ways. You can string it out with the big guy. You can hedge with the big guy. You can down it, which means that you don't let the guard take the go over the screen, and then you have your big guy play center field in the middle. You can fight over the top, or you can run the guy off the 3-point line, the guy guarding the dribbler. There are an awful lot of things you can do, and I would have from day one in practice. I would teach a different one and keep four or five of those in my arsenal. So that in the timeout, I could say, all right, till the next timeout, we're gonna hard hedge, and then change it to string the guy out, then change it to down the guy, then change it to double team the screen and have everybody.
How many would you generally use in a game?
I think I would change it in every timeout in the first half, which is 16-8.
Okay, 16-5. That's 5. 12, that's 5. Yeah, 5 ways in the first half.
And I try to see which one was proved to be most difficult for them, and that's probably what I would start the second half in, but I still wouldn't stay with it the whole half, I don't think.
Man, I would hate to play for you because that's a lot of choices, and if I mess up, I know a timeout's coming and somebody's going to come out to meet me.
Well, I if we do discuss, you know, in the old days when we used to say, you're not going to let this guy go to your left his left shoulder, and he gets the ball, and the first time he gets it, he goes to his left shoulder. You know, I don't think it's probably time to discuss that.
All right. Now let's get back to now. So is there anybody playing when you watch a team and they go, that's kind of that they're doing it multiple ways within a game, or is your suggestion just not used?
I haven't seen it used very often. Most guys go about defending the high ball screen the way they want to, and then they pick and choose who's going to help and who's going to help and who they're not going to help off of based on how accurate that guy is a shooter. But if you watch the game, invariably almost every offensive sequence ends up or begins with that high ball screen in the middle.
How would you then judge as if it's working well based on the number of the three-point shooting? How do you then say, yeah, it worked by using that variety? Is there a stat you would look at to judge that you're having success with that approach?
Well, we're talking theories here now because I've never
done it. And I want it to be on the record as a theory because somebody's going to listen and somebody's going to do this. And when they do, I'll say, Mike Dean talked about that 2 years ago. Okay.
Well, I appreciate the fact that you want to use me to footnote things. But the truth of the matter is, I would really like to try it.
Or you'd say, if we do this right, they're going to shoot 3%, 3 points less than 32%, or their overall field goal percentage is going to change. How can I know, or would you know, that it's working?
Well, you don't always, because let's face it, the three-point shot is a percentage thing, and some days they all go in, some days they never go in, even if you get open one. So it's hard to measure that. What I would try to measure is how uncomfortable can we make the other team so that they have to make changes and adjustments in how they play.
Okay. Yeah, I can guarantee you this, you're not giving up those early dunks. Any one team you want to mention? I don't know how much you watch. I know you like the way Marquette plays. It's about Kolek's health, but any team?
Any team? My upset team I like is Yale. They play a very, very good Auburn team, very athletic Auburn team. But Yale has seniors. And, guys tend not to leave the Ivy League. And they've got a lot of seniors on that.
No, they're leaving more now. They went to St. John's. We'll do this again, Coach. I've run out of time. Thanks. Yale. I could have guessed he'd pick an Ivy League school. Saganiac Planning, a name synonymous with employee benefits and top-notch service. Nope. And doing it well for over 50 years. Remember that. I haven't mentioned it often enough. Saganiac Planning, a name synonymous with employee benefits, top-notch service, and doing it well for over 50 years. That's how they can be so good. Saganiac Planning, a phone number you can remember. Just remember 783-262-783. Roger Maris, 6161. Yale. They can't beat Auburn. Ooh, 4 versus 13. From a 3 versus 14 guy. All right. Next.